Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. Now, we are live in the following places. We are live on Odyssey, we are live on DLive, and we are live on RadioAlbion.com. Now, we're not going to have any lengthy intro to tonight's show. This is a show that you actually asked for. I put up a poll, and you said you wanted me to talk about Tommy Robinson's Hope Not Hate expose. And you said you'd prefer a live stream. So here we are. It is about the Hope Not Hate expose. It's a review of it, and it is a live stream. All of this is live. I will put some stuff up on the screen. We will play bits of it, but this is actually live. And I'm actually happy this is live because it means you guys can ask questions. And that's very, very important because I'm going to tell you first what this stream is not. This stream is not firstly going to be me watching the whole documentary. The whole documentary is an hour and 48 minutes. I'm not going to watch that, then comment on it because we'd be here for 4 hours doing that. And then we'd have question answers. I'm not doing a 5 hour stream. It's not good for me. It's not good for you. Secondly, this is not going to be a stream bashing Tommy Robinson. That's not what this is about. This isn't a stream bashing him. This is also not a stream for the normies, and I'll explain that a bit later. This stream is for committed ethno-nationalists. This stream is for people who are part of the struggle. And as I said, I'll explain why that is later. So this is for the hardcore. It's not something that you should be sending to your mum or your girlfriend. I've got hundreds and hundreds of videos that you could send to your mum or your girlfriend where I talk about normie things in short, digestible videos. This isn't going to be it. This is an in-depth breakdown of the important parts of the documentary for committed ethno-nationalist activists, organizers, and people within the movement. And as such, this is going to be the real truth. This is going to be the most hard-hitting parts of Tommy Robinson's documentary, all broken down and discussed in some depth. Now, I'm going to ask you to do three things. Firstly, I would like you to all stick around to the end. I would like you to stick around to the end of this documentary because there's things that are going to be said and they're going to be explained throughout. So if you're dipping in and out, if you're just watching bits and bobs, if you're not sort of grasping it all, you're probably going to miss things that you would otherwise want to see. And I don't want you to miss things, and I don't want things to be taken out of context. And that's the second thing I'm going to ask you to do. Take this presentation as a whole. Don't snip bits out of context. Don't misrepresent what I'm saying, because this is going to be a proper analysis. And thirdly, I would like you to ask questions. If you disagree with something I say during the stream, or if something isn't clear, or if you want something fleshing out to a greater degree, please ask me about it. Now, you can ask questions through Odyssey and Entropy. And I'm saying this now. This is a very serious topic. So you do not have to donate. I will answer all non-paid questions that are relevant to this stream. Obviously, if you wanted to make a donation, that is up to you. You can hit the support button on Odyssey and send a cash donation with a message or a comment or a question attached. You can do the same in Entropy. But this is a serious topic. And when I do these serious breakdowns on a Friday night, there is no financial barrier to questions. There is one barrier to questions, and that is it has to be relevant. So if you're going to stick around for the duration, take this as a whole, and you're free to ask non-paid questions, which I will answer if they're on topic to the best of my ability. And you don't have to pay for that. There's no paywall to be involved in this stream because it is so important. It is so very important. So I hope I've made all that clear. Now, before we get in to the meat of what I'm going to say, we knew this documentary was coming out. And I was actually asked during the 28 Days Later movie review on Sunday what I thought about this. Because we'd heard that Tommy Robinson had a mole in Hope Not Hate, that he had this infiltrator, that the infiltrator had been in there for a year, and this guy had gone deep undercover. And he was basically going to furnish us with the kind of information that we'd never heard before. Now, I said at the time, let's be cautiously optimistic, but let's not get too excited. And I made some predictions. Now, I'm not going to ask you all to wade back through 2 hours of me, Laura, and Nativist reviewing a zombie film to get to the relevant part. So I'm quickly going to give you my predictions because I was pretty much spot on. Now, the first thing I said before this documentary came out was that Hope Not Hate were a serious professional organization and they work hand in hand with the security services. We know they work hand in hand with the security services. We know they work with the police. They have been part of investigations that have involved both the TUC, the police, the security services, and the BBC. One of those investigations led to me going on trial for, being in and out of court and police stations for 3 to 4 years of my life. So we know that is true. And as such, as they are a proxy of the security services, and what I mean by a proxy is the security services are constantly monitoring us. But the security services have to act within guidelines, within laws. They have to stick to the Police and Criminal Evidence Act. They have to stick to PACE. So the security services often use proxies to do things they can't do, to do things that fall into a grey area that they are not allowed to engage in because it would endanger the nature of any investigation and likely see a dismissal in court. So I hope we're clear on that. That means Nick Lowles and Hope Not Hate have powerful friends. And my first prediction was there wouldn't be a genuine infiltrator. There wouldn't be somebody who was going into the office every day with Nick Lowles as a little worker at Hope Not Hate Towers. Because I said that anyone who would actually work in a privileged position like that with a professional outfit that is linked to the security services would likely be vetted not only heavily by Hope Not Hate, but would also be vetted by the security services themselves. And as such, I said, I don't think there'll be somebody who's deep, deep undercover who's been in the Hope Not Hate offices. I was right about that. Secondly, I said, as there's no one in the office, there wouldn't be anyone going into this office, into Hope Not Hate Towers, and going up to the safe at the end of the night and removing the little black book with lists and lists of informants in, you know, scurrying off to the library after work and photocopying it or taking pictures on their mobile phone and then giving us, you know, every Hope Not Hate informant for the past 20 years or something like that and uploading it to WikiLeaks. I said that wouldn't happen. It didn't happen. I said that Hope Not Hate wouldn't operate in a slapdash manner. They wouldn't have some Excel file. No one's going to be walking in that office, working there for 2 months and saying to Nick Lowles, hey, mate, do you mind if I stay late for a couple of hours? And then, you know, putting a pen drive in one of the computers and pulling off an Excel sheet full of names of informants and, you know, lurid information. I said that wouldn't happen. I said that for good reason. It didn't happen. I also made another prediction. I said that, in my opinion, Hope Not Hate would treat informants in a similar way to the way the security services treat informants. Security services treat informants in a nebulous way. The officers who work for security services or work for CID or work for special operations task forces within the police, they don't share their informants all with each other in the cafeteria. They're not sat in the cafeteria or listing off their informants. They keep their informants to themselves. They might have to hand them over to managers who have some overarching control. But the reason they don't give out their informants to everyone or talk about it is because if one officer becomes in some way compromised, and he knows all the informants, then every operation is compromised. So they work in sort of a cellular or nebulous way to ensure that their informants are protected. So if one officer or one operation becomes compromised, they don't all become compromised. And I said, I would imagine that Hope Not Hate works in the same way. I don't think there would be one master Excel spreadsheet or one black book. I would imagine that different operatives within that organization keep their informants to themselves, and there's different tiers of security. So if somebody comes to them who just goes to the odd event once every 3-4 months, that's probably treated with a lot less discretion. That person's details are treated with a lot less discretion than, say, if somebody who's in a leadership position in the movement, who was desperate for money or was trying to buy themselves out of the movement, or who had had a sudden about face because they were worried about going to prison, would be treated. Obviously, higher value targets would be protected. And I said all that because I wanted to dampen people's expectations. I believe it, but I think some people were getting a bit too excited. And when you get too excited, you know, it can lead to disappointment. It can lead to disappointment. And I think that some people were a little bit disappointed by this. And some people in the chat are saying, when did I say this? I said this on the 28 Days Later stream. It's somewhere embedded in all that. And I made one final prediction. And this one didn't come true exactly, but it did partially come true. So I'm going to give myself partial credit on this one. My final prediction was that if somebody did try to infiltrate Hope Not Hate Towers, the security services may well warn Nick Lowles, or Nick Lowles may find out that there is an infiltrator, and it might be part of his vetting or part of his game to feed back a certain degree of misinformation to informants to find out if they're on the level, if they're talking to other people. And that sort of came true as well. So I was pretty much on the money with my predictions. The last one partially, but I'm going to say pretty well done there to myself. Now, the next bit I'm going to say is going to be very difficult to hear, but it's honest. And I'm going to proceed what I'm about to say with a quote from Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu is obviously the famous Chinese general who wrote The Art of War. And this is one of the most famous quotes from that book. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. That's an important quote. And it's from one of my favorite books. And I'll say this. We need to be honest about what Hope Not Hate is, an honest assessment of Hope Not Hate. Now, we're going to look at Nick Lowles. He's the man on the thumbnail. He's the man who was probably Tommy Robinson's number one target. And some people aren't going to like this. Nick Lowles is a professional. Nick Lowles is a consummate professional who works with the security services. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing this for decades, and he's done it with a startling degree of success. And in that time, he has built connections with some of the most powerful politicians, media pundits, trade unions in the country. Do not underestimate that man. Do not underestimate that man, and do not underestimate his organization and what they are capable of. The number one mistake you can make with people like him is underestimating him. He's not a joke. He's not somebody to be trifled with. He's not somebody that you will turn over. He's not somebody that you will outfox. He's somebody who is a professional. And he's also something else. Now, we may say, and I am going to say, that he uses very dishonest tactics. He uses very questionable tactics. He doesn't necessarily fight fair. He is somebody who does lots of different things that we as nationalists probably disagree with. He does things that we as nationalists probably don't like. But he is honest in one respect. He is honest in the respect that he hates nationalists. He hates nationalists, he hates nationalism, and he hates what we stand for. And because of that, he is somebody that has to that degree been honest with us. Now, you might think, well, he's a scumbag. You might think he's somebody who obviously you couldn't trust. And I accept all of that. I accept all of those things. And I understand I hope you can all hear me. Just had a few technical problems there. For some reason, my screen died. Let me know if you can see me again. Hopefully you can. I'm just resetting everything up. So hopefully I am. Yeah, so I don't really know what happened there. It's going to take me just a couple of seconds to get everything set up again. So my apologies, and then I will carry on. And I think I remember exactly where I was in what I was saying. So I will be able to continue from where I left off. And then obviously I will just edit together. I'll just edit together what was happening there. I've never had that happen before. My second monitor, which I obviously use for streaming when I do things like this, just died. So let me just open my notepad, and then we're back in business. Okay, so if everyone can hear me, we are ready to go again. Now, I went through the difficult but honest section. I gave my assessment of Nick Lowles. I said that he was a professional and that we should acknowledge that. And I said that fundamentally, he is somebody who is honest about his desires. He might employ dishonest tactics, but he's honest about his desires. He wants to smash nationalism. He's opposed to what we believe in. He is pro-immigration, pro-multiculturalism, and he is pro-LGBT. And he will work to, or go to great lengths to promote what he believes in and stop us promoting what we believe in. But he is open about the fact that he is our enemy. Now, the people that I see as worse than him, the people that I see as more nefarious than him, the people that I see as actually fundamentally the lowest of the low, are people who call themselves nationalists, people who attend our events, people who move within our circles, people who claim to be our friends, people who take money from nationalists, people who state that they're anti-immigration, that they're pro-traditionalism, but they're not, because they're secretly working with Hope Not Hate. I see those people as rats. I see those people as the lowest of the low. I see those people as the worst of the worst. And fundamentally, I actually view them as worse than Nick Lowles. I view them as I say, the lowest of the low. I'm going to give you another quote. And this is the nicest quote I could find online about traitors, and one that wasn't, how can I say it, could be misconstrued in any way. And this is from a Tamil nationalist leader. And he said, traitors are more dangerous than enemies. And I agree with him. Now, obviously, this documentary, this expose, was made by Tommy Robinson. And I said earlier, some people are going to be expecting me to bash Tommy Robinson and say, oh, well, Tommy Robinson's this, Tommy Robinson's that. And I've had my difference with him. He's had his differences with me. He said some bad things about me. And generally, I've held back. I've only actually ever made one video that's critical of him. That was recently. But I'm not going to bash him here. And the reason I'm not going to bash him here is because he's done a good bit of work. He's done a good bit of work. And although I have differences with him, and I've certainly had differences with him in the past, I've only ever spoke to him once in the past, and I've had difference with him ever since then. But if he can take down Hope Not Hate, if he can expose them, if he can do them damage, if he can warn people about what they're up to, then I take my hat off to him. And that might be begrudging, because he's not my biggest fan. I'm sure he doesn't like what I'm saying about certain things politically. We have differences, but he has done his best to take down this nefarious group. And as such, I'm not going to knock him. And if this expose has convinced a number of people that Hope Not Hate are not to be trusted. They're bad. They act in bad ways. More power to him. And, you know, begrudging or not, well done for making this. But this documentary, as I said, it wasn't an infiltration. It was definitely an expose, but it wasn't an infiltration. But that doesn't mean there wasn't plenty of good stuff. And this is one of those things, isn't it? When you think you're getting something that you're not getting, when you think you're getting something that you're not getting, you're disappointed with whatever you get. So if somebody says, I'm going to give you, you know, 100 quid, and they give you 50 quid, you're probably like, oh, but you still got 50 quid. So you should probably be happy about it. It's just your expectations were higher than the reality of what you received. And when this documentary came out, I think people thought they were getting the £100. I think they thought they were getting it all, but they didn't really get what they hoped for. They thought they were going to get the moon on the stick, but they didn't. And I had a lot of people saying when this was made, oh, Mark, this isn't as good. It's not as explosive. It's not as wonderful as I'd hoped it was going to be. This doesn't tear into pieces or tear hope, not hate to pieces quite as much as we hope. Where's the big list of informants? Where's the, you know, the secret footage from inside the office? Well, I said that was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. And I've got to admit, when I watched it the first time, I thought, was this as hard-hitting as it could be? But to make this review that I'm doing tonight, I had to go back and watch it. And when I went back and watched it, I was actually pleasantly surprised, because not everything is made for me. Not everything is made for hardcore ethno-nationalists that live and breathe politics. Some things are made for the public. Some things are made for people who are a little bit softer, who are a little bit new to this, who are on the edge of this, who are just mildly interested in what's going on, who actually might be swayed by some of the stuff said by Hope Not Hate. And I've got to say, in an hour and 48 minutes, Tommy Robinson actually gave plenty of good stuff. Now, we might already know most of that good stuff, but it was good for normies. It was good for the man on the street. It was good for the part-time patriot or the newbie, because it did give a very, very comprehensive insight into a lot of the alleged nefarious activities carried out by Hope Not Hate. Now, some of this we already knew. There was a young guy on there who used to be in Generation Identity, and it showed that Hope Not Hate intimidate people at work. He came forward and he said that Hope Not Hate rang his workplace to get him sacked. For most normal people, they'll find that disgusting. The lad was just saying he was anti-immigration. Hope Not Hate contacted his workplace and got him sacked. You know, they successfully said Hope Not Hate have people silenced on social media. For normal people, they're going to be like, that's awful. You're getting people kicked off the social media just because you disagree with their opinions. That doesn't make them look good. There was multiple people who on the documentary claimed that they were given money by Hope Not Hate. There was multiple recordings of people saying that they were paid differing amounts of money. In some cases, very significant amounts of money were being discussed by Hope Not Hate. And Tommy Robbins said on numerous occasions, you can't pay your sources. You can't pay your sources, because then they are not good sources anymore. They're not independent sources. They're people you've paid. And once you've paid them, they stop being credible. There was another set of people who claimed that Hope Not Hate gave them drugs. There was the allegation that Hope Not Hate were plying vulnerable people who had addiction problems with drugs in order to get them to say things. That was another allegation made about a guy called Tom Foley, who Paul Golding helped out, who then Tom Foley claimed Paul Golding did all this terrible stuff to him. But there was recordings of Tom Foley saying, oh, Paul's the greatest guy I've ever met. And then there's recordings of Tom Foley saying, oh, well, they came around to my house and they gave me this and that. And then I said this. That looks terrible. And to us, we know that goes on. So we're like, oh, well, knew that, move on. But to your average member of the public, to your normie, to your guy sitting at home, that's pretty damn condemning. And then you can see, I said already said that Hope Not Hate are a proxy of the security services, but they're also a proxy of the media. You saw all their links to the media, to politicians, to the government, to the BBC, to schools, security service. And you can see Hope Not Hate are doing things, or have been alleged to be doing things, that the media couldn't do. Again, the BBC can't pay their sources. Panorama can't pay their sources. The Daily Mirror can't pay their sources. but Hope Not Hate can. And there was numerous allegations that Hope Not Hate had paid sources to say things on documentaries. So the BBC can say, we didn't pay anyone, but then Hope Not Hate have done it for them, effectively. This made a lot of people look very messy. It made Hope Not Hate look very underhanded. It made the BBC, the politicians, other media pundits who deal with them look like they're in bed with some very, very nasty people. And again, this wasn't something that was a revelation for me. But if you're new to the movement and you're unsure about this and you're being called a Nazi or a racist or a fascist by Hope Not Hate, and this kind of thing's bothering you, thinking, why are these people calling me that? You see this documentary and you're going to have a very low opinion of Hope Not Hate. You're going to be like, yeah, these guys aren't to be trusted. And I think that's important. And we shouldn't underplay that just because we know it all. And I think they also proved effectively that Hope Not Hate was an absolutely partisan group. Absolutely partisan. They are committed to defeating us. They're not committed to dialogue. They're not committed to fixing problems. They're not committed to working to a central position or making sure everyone gets along. They are absolutely partisan. They exist to defeat us and push the very opposite of what we say. So anyone working with them is working to sort of ultimately an anti-white agenda. And I think that was very important. And they even had people on there and claims were made that Hope Not Hate massively overstate issues as part of their partisan agenda. Now, I'm not going to go over all of these things. The documentary was an hour and 48 minutes. So if you want to see all of the lurid claims, all of the allegations, if you want to hear numerous people claiming they were paid money by Hope Not Hate, or claiming that they were given drugs by Hope Not Hate, or claiming that they were intimidated in some way like by Hope Not Hate, or claiming that people came to their houses. You saw some awful intimidation of people who were allegedly linked with Hope Not Hate, leafleting people's streets to shame them in front of their neighbors. Now, if that was going on the other way around, it'd be called stalking and there'd be an injunction. All of this was laid bare, and it's all really nasty stuff. There was also footage of a woman who claimed she had nothing to do with Tommy Robinson, who was being harassed by people at her house because apparently, allegedly, Hope Not Hate had published her address. And she was now getting in trouble, even though she was nothing to do with Tommy. Now, all of that was very, very compelling. It might not have been compelling for you and I. It might not have been compelling for hardcore nationalists. But I think for normal members of the public, they would have been appalled by it. So, again, hats off to Tommy on that here. By the way, this isn't going to be a one-way street of me just saying everything was great, because I do have some criticisms. But that was very, very good. And if the documentary had been just distilled down into sort of the dirty tricks, and it was, you know, a tight sort of 45 minutes, I think that could be handed as a pack to, you know, journalists, people in unions, etc., and real pressure put on different newspapers to not work with them. Because if the public saw that, the people working with Hope Not Hate would be also completely discredited. So, but that's the end of that section. I'm not going to go on about that anymore. Now, I'm going to go on to now the disappointment, because there was some disappointments in there. Tommy Robinson and Paul Golding exposed quite a few people on this. But one person that I thought Tommy went a bit soft on was Lauren Southern and Kaylin Robertson. Now, Lauren Southern and Kaylin Robertson famously worked with Hope Not Hate. And Tommy has always maintained that Kaylin Robertson and his boyfriend, George Llewellyn John, were in some way bribed and sexually assaulted by people at Hope Not Hate, forced into doing what they were doing. I think he's absolutely wrong on this. I'm pleased he outed Kaylin and Lauren as rats. They are rats. They should never be welcomed back into this movement. No one should talk to them. They are absolutely untrustworthy. But he gives them a bit of a pass. He gives them a bit of a pass, and I don't think they should get a pass. And I'm just going to briefly touch on this, because I made a long expose on all of this. It's linked in the description beneath this video. But I just want you to see this, and this is something that I do believe Tommy is wrong on. And I'm going to try and find the right bit.
We have an organisation called Hope Not Hate.
It's about at 7:40. So I'm going to play a couple of moments of this.
First of all, we'll rewind 2 years. I've already exposed this organisation. This is Kalen Robertson. Kalen Robertson is an ex-employee of mine. They got into him. They blackmailed him. He was sexually assaulted. He was threatened. He was intimidated. He was scared. And they created him into a source of information. So they forced him to say negative.
I disagree with this. I don't think they forced him at all. And you'll hear his words in a minute. And he admits, Kalen Robertson admits from his own mouth, there was no real coercion. But I'll play some more.
Things about me so the media could print them to the world. You're going to hear that story now.
We were basically threatened with the most horrendous shit you can possibly imagine for 3 months, constantly, to do this. Constantly. Because basically... Why they have dirt on us is when we left Rebel. I don't know if I told you this. When we left Rebel, we were really fucking angry, and none of the media would take all the stuff we had on them.
So he admits here he left Rebel Media and he tried to sell dirt on everybody he knew there. The guy is not trustworthy. I carry on.
So Nick Lowe's reached out to me on Twitter and he was like, oh, meet up with us. And we were like, oh, okay, like we weren't working with anyone then. So we were like, yeah, fuck it. And we met up with him twice. And we were like, oh, we can write a book on Rebel Media. We can write a book on how they've scammed people and this and this and this and this and this. And we were like really conniving with them.
His own words, he claims he was really, him and his boyfriend were really conniving with them. So this isn't a guy you can trust. And Tommy shouldn't be giving these guys a pass.
One of the first things they started threatening us with, this only started 3 months ago. We had no contact with them between 3 months ago and leaving Rebel, nothing. They started messaging us saying, we need to meet you. This is really serious. And then when we met them, they said to George, I wasn't there. We're going to release all of the meetings that you've had with us, threatening Rebel Media and talking shit about right-wing personalities and bitching about them. Nothing serious, just saying, oh, that counts. And they're going to make you, and we're going to basically expose you. And also we've got 6 signatures from the top trade unionist organizations in the country saying that they're gonna come after you, and the government have opened a new department which we're advising on counterterrorism.
This is all nonsense. Why would trade unions go after independent filmmakers? The government have just opened a new department and you're top of the list. Absolute trash. This is a guy who I believe is just lying through his teeth.
Which are going to prosecute you for writing scripts which have incited the Darren Osborne terrorist attack. And it was like, they were basically like, you're going to fucking go to jail and you're going to get exposed for meeting with us if you don't work with us. This is what it all comes down to, this Panorama fucking thing. And Hope Not Hate were there standing next to the BBC producers.
When you went for the meet on Panorama, who from Hope Not Hate was there?
Nick, Joe, John Sweeney and the producer.
All on first name terms.
Hope Not Hate were like fucking terrifying, and they like did, you know, they blackmailed us. They felt like Joe fucking used the whole thing to try and get into Kalen's pants.
This is how bad it really was. When we pulled up in London, this was the day I dropped off the suitcase to you, right? That I went straight off from there, I can't remember where it was, to go and do this interview with them. They hired out this big car park warehouse thing. They had a little chair in the middle of it. I walked into this room, sat down. It was a cameraman, it was the head producer, it was Nick and it was Joe. And then I started getting really nervous because she was saying, how much money, name numbers, name figures. And I was like, well, it was enough to pay for us to make videos and all the money was spent on kit. And I was just saying vague shit. And then Joe said, can we stop the interview, please? And then I was like, okay. And then Nick went, can you come with us, Kalen? And then Nick and Joe took me to the other side of the warehouse and said, Kalen, you really need to give them more information than this. You really need to open up a little bit more because this is really not useful to them. They're probably not even going to use this. You need to go into specifics. You need to go into numbers. You need to at least show them something.
Were they threatening you? At you?
Breather, have a cigarette and we'll come back to it.
Were they threatening you
like,
then?
Okay. I had a cigarette and I went back and I sat down and I still couldn't really do it. And it was really bad. Like I was like shaking the whole time. And that's when we told Panorama that we didn't feel that it was safe, that it was not okay. And that we were basically threatened.
Bit of a strange one here, yeah?
It's been a minute.
I know, sorry, man. It's 4 o'clock in the morning here, but I've just got off the phone to Kalen for an hour, yeah? How much have they told you about Hope Not Hate?
Not much, why?
Not much, why? That's her first answer, and listen to that tone in her voice. Not much, why? And then she admits this.
Where they've been meeting with them regularly.
I've met Joe too before. Yeah, I know that.
Not much. Why? Oh, yeah, I've also met them. She is another snake. Now, I've done a whole video on this, so I'm not going to go into depth, but just listen to the rest of this.
Kaylin and George have met with them before.
Continually met with them? When you were doing your Borderless documentary, Hope Not Hate flew out to Italy to meet them?
I don't know what they were talking about, but for the most part, like, I think they're just afraid of them. From what I've been told, it's like, they're like, oh, they're kind of blackmailing us, like, hang out with us or else we're going to get you guys arrested or whatever. So they've just met with them.
So hold on a second.
So that's enough of that. Now, basically, what you can see from there is Kaylin Robertson, George Llewellyn John, Lauren Southern, they're not going to be getting a pass off me. Now, obviously, Tommy has used this as a way to attack Nick Lowles and Hope Not Hate, and fair enough. But I will say this, I don't believe that Kaylin Robertson and George Llewellyn John are innocent. I don't believe Lauren Southern was innocent. I did an entire video on this. You can watch it another time. I'm not going to talk about this for much longer. But I'll say this. If Hope Not Hate operatives are flying out to Milan to meet somebody, sharing hotel rooms with that somebody, then they are in bed with them. Maybe literally, definitely metaphorically. These people shouldn't be given a pass. And I'll tell you this, because I've not really spoken about this a lot. I used to be quite big on YouTube, you may have heard. But when I was on YouTube, I was monetized for a long time. Now, the day, it was a Friday evening, just like this, when I did my Hope Not Hate, Lauren Southern, Kaylin Robertson expose. And I was fully monetized when I did that, fully monetized. And I'll tell you this now. I woke up on the Saturday morning after doing that stream and I had a notification from YouTube. My monetization was revoked immediately after I did that expose. Now, that could just be one giant coincidence, or it could be that I was far too close to a very uncomfortable truth. So that's the one thing, or the first thing I didn't really like about that, this documentary, this expose. It was far too light on people like this. And I'll get to my opinion on all the rats at the end as a conclusion. Now, we've done the expose bit. We've done the Lauren Southern, Kaylin Robertson bit. Now let's get down to some meat, because there were some revelations and some allegations in this expose that I was partially aware of, but this made me much more aware of. And these allegations really were backed up by a lot more evidence. Now, the people I'm going to be speaking about next are a guy called Jim Dowson from Northern Ireland and Jada Franson. Now, Jada Franson runs the British Freedom Party. She used to run Britain First with Paul Golding. And this is one of the most illuminating bits of what I'm going to talk about tonight. And this is the bit that really affects patriotic alternative, affects ethno-nationalists, and has been something that we've been trying to get to the bottom of for some time. And there's going to be quite a lot of detail in here. So this is the bit where you need to get your popcorn. This is the bit where you need to strap in, have your cup of grandma towelers ready, because this will probably be the most interesting bit for PA activists or ethno-nationalists. Now, the allegations made are the following, and they were made by numerous people. Tommy Robinson alleges that he met James Dowson in Belfast for a secret meeting. And as soon as that meeting was over, all the papers had the information. Tommy goes on to allege that James Dowson works hand in hand with Hope Not Hate. This allegation has also been made by Paul Golding, the leader of Britain First. Paul Golding goes as far to allege that James Dowson works so closely with Hope Not Hate that he actually has a nickname or a code name for Matthew Collins, who he deals with. He calls him Mr. Nefarious. That is the code name he has for his Hope Not Hate contact. And you might say, well, that is just Tommy Robinson. That's just Paul Golding. Maybe those two are besmirching these nationalists. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of that, because it's not just Paul Golding. It's not just Tommy Robinson. It's also former loyalist paramilitary Johnny Adair, and we're going to play his testimony soon. So these are some very serious allegations, and this is the sort of thing that I think nationalists would be more interested in. So here we have three separate people running separate organizations involved in separate spheres of the nationalist diaspora Tommy Robinson, Paul Golding, Johnny Adair, and they're all saying that Jim Dowson and Jada Framson have been working with Hope, not Hate. Now, initially, you might say, come on, Mark, you need to present some evidence. Well, these guys on the documentary gave a timescale. They said 2015. And you might say, we're going to need more than that. Well, I'm going to give you more than that, because there is actually solid information that James Dowson has colluded with Hope Not Hate. And I am going to show it to you now. Now, this isn't something that's written on a blog somewhere. This isn't something that is just a snippet of information that could have been created by anyone. This is actually from the Hope Not Hate website itself. So I'm going to show you this. Now, this is no longer on the Hope Not Hate website. This was actually redacted, which tells you everything you need to know. And this is an article, and this is from the Wayback Machine. This was taken from the Hope Not Hate website. They pulled it down, but you can still access it via the Wayback Machine. And this is an article titled, Waving Goodbye to the Far Right. Last month, Jim Dowson walked out on Britain First in an exclusive interview with Matthew Collins, the man he allegedly calls Mr. Nefarious, and Nick Lowles. He explains why he is turning his back on Britain's far right. And there's a picture of Dowson in the meeting, copyrighted by Hope Not Hate, because they took the picture of him when he was in the meeting. Now, I'm not going to read you the full article, but this proves there is collusion. And he also had some very interesting things to say about British nationalists. He said this, in the BNP in particular, there was a recurring theme about rebirthing the English, that an anti-Zionism appealed to Dowson. There are some very good people in Britain First. Christian folk, I convinced to join because we believe in the Bible. And then he goes on to say, Nick Griffin just hated Jews. Believe what you want about me, but I have never known a hatred like what the BNP has for Jews. So here he is attacking Nick Griffin, which is very suspect considering who he works with today, who he's partnered with today. And he goes on to talk about British nationalists. He says they won't have babies. They can't have babies. They're always too drunk or too stupid to have them. There's no point in pointing the finger at immigrants or Muslims coming to your country to replace you if you have failed to keep producing the English you thought you were. So here he is speaking rather disparagingly about British nationalists. Now, that's very, very interesting, isn't it? Because this goes from an allegation from Tommy Robinson, allegations from Paul Golding, allegations from Johnny Adair, to an actually published interview that he did with Hope Not Hate, which has since been redacted. Why has it been redacted? Why have Hope Not Hate pulled it down? Why is it no longer on their website? Why do you have to get it through from the Wayback Machine? Who knows? Now, the next allegation that was made refers again to Paul Golding. Now, Jada Framson, somebody who's been very critical of Patriotic Alternative, she colluded with Hope Not Hate, allegedly with Hope Not Hate, with Panorama and the BBC to besmirch Paul Golding as part of a Panorama documentary that featured both her and, again, James Dowson. There's a pattern forming here, isn't there? And on this documentary, on this Panorama documentary, some lurid claims about Paul Golding were made. And these lurid claims were backed up by a snippet of recorded evidence, just a snippet, because it turns out that Jada Framson had been secretly recording her conversations with Paul Golding. Paul Golding and Jada at one time were sexual partners. They were in a relationship, but she'd been secretly recording him. And she passed a snippet of information to Panorama, claiming that Paul had been beating her, that Paul had been physically abusive, that he had engaged in a series of domestic abuse incidents where she was the victim. Now, this is very interesting, because how did Panorama get the tape? Why did Panorama only play a snippet of the discussion? Why wasn't Paul ever given a right to respond? Paul was painted publicly as an abuser of women on Panorama, no less. And Jada sat there and James Dowson sat there, and Paul was painted to be the bad guy. Now, this is very, very interesting. Now, when this happened, and I heard this was happening, and this was quite some time ago, I called Paul Golding. I've got Paul Golding's number. I've known Paul Golding since about 2002. And I rang him up and said, look, Paul, there's all these allegations flying around, and I want to know your side of the story. I want to know what really happened, mate. And do you know what Paul said to me? He said, look, Mark, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, have you ever been out with one of those girls where your relationship is just a mess and you're always at each other? And I said, yeah, I have. And what Paul told me next, I thought was extremely credible. And for the record, I believe him. He claimed their relationship broke down. They were both in a difficult position, obviously, when you're with somebody who you're working with 24/7 as part of a political party, it's going to be very tense. And he said they used to have quite explosive arguments. It was an explosive relationship. And often, he claims she used to attack him. He claimed that she used to come at him. She used to launch stuff at him. She used to fly across the room at him, you know, feet and fists flailing like mad. And he admitted to me that he used to restrain her. He said, I had to restrain her, mate. She'd just come at you. Sometimes you'd be walking away from her saying, just get out of my face. Just leave me be. And she'd launch something in his head. He told me this. I believe him. I listened to both sides of the story and I believe him. And another thing that makes me believe him is the snippet of information that was played on Panorama was edited. Where was the rest of the tape? Where was the rest of the tape? Do I think Paul Golding was beating her up? I don't believe he was. And I'll tell you something else. She's a big lass. You know, she's not a small woman, is he? She's not, she's not Snow White. You know, she's not Cinderella. She's not the Disney princess. You know, she claims that he was locking her in the bedroom, you know, like she was Rapunzel. I don't believe that for a minute. And I don't believe that because I've seen her. I've seen her out in public. I've seen her making speeches. I've seen her gobbing at people in the street. I've seen her prodding her finger at people and wagging it when she's lecturing people. I don't think she's the kind of woman who would be pushed about. I don't think she's the kind of woman that is going to get locked in a room by Paul Golding. I think she's a woman who would give as good as she can get. That's just my assessment. That's just my assessment. I wasn't there, but that's what I believe. And as far as I'm concerned, I think this was a dirty trick. But she wasn't involved in this dirty trick alone. She wasn't involved in this alone. She was also involved in this with James Dowson. Now, it's been alleged, and there's stuff to back this up, there's a timeline of events, that James Dowson and Jada Franson, the allegation is, that they set Paul up to be recorded, admitting something, or to make it look like he'd admitted something. And they'd done this because they intended to destroy his credibility and Britain First. But what is there to back that up? Well, there's two important pieces of evidence. The first is, as soon as they'd done this, they launched their own organisation called the British Freedom Party, which looked exactly the same as Britain First and was obviously a competitor to Britain First. So they were obviously trying to damage their competition. But this isn't just Paul's word. This isn't just us surmising on the show tonight what could have been their motivation. There is also somebody else who was mutual friends with Paul and Jada who claims that Jada Franson not only colluded with James Dowson and Panorama to ruin Paul's credibility, but that she was paid a sum approximating £20,000 by Hope Not Hate for doing that. And the man who claims that is Johnny Adair. Now, Johnny Adair is somebody who is very well known. And I'm going to play again a clip, which hopefully will illustrate to you exactly what I mean. I'm just going to make sure I have the right part of the video.
They have an organized. Because I know they're always lurking in the background, especially with Panorama. And to see such a change overnight. Now, I know I linked with Johnny Mad Dog Adair. I managed to get his phone number. And I thought I'd put in a phone call and see what he knows.
Let me just ring Johnny Adair. He's going to think, what? I've heard he was...
Hello?
Is that... Hello, Johnny. It's Tommy Robinson.
Oh, wait, okay. How are you, Tommy?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. This is good. No, thanks, buddy. I just... Johnny, this is going to seem like a weird one, yeah? I'm looking at... I'm just querying. I heard that you was talking to Jim Dowson, yeah? The timeline is Jada Franson, there was a documentary, a Panorama documentary.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember it?
Yes, and I haven't gone back or 2 years, see, I don't know. Yeah. That was the last time I spoke to Jim Dowson. And to be honest, it was more sympathetically from my point of view, because Jada and Paul had their differences. But I mean, I respect for both of them, and I think that both of them done a great job. But their fallout was their fallout and was none of my business. But I felt she's living back over in Northern Ireland, and I felt that the chips was down for her, and she hadn't 2D, and life was bad. And when I spoke to Dowson, I remember saying, look, I would want to give her a couple of pounds, like a donation. And he said, no, she's already, she got 20,000 pounds there. I put in the bank that was the time of the
rent. So you rang up to offer some money or to offer.
I'm not sure whether he rang me or I rang him.
Okay.
One of the two, but the conversation was my intentions. It would have been me probably ringing him. My intentions was to give her a donation to try and help her because I did feel sorry for her. Now I hadn't seen or spoken to her in some time, but okay. I was reading and hearing stories that she was in hard times, but then I heard that she was with Dowson and them two were obviously working together. So when I contacted him, I said, look, listen, I'm hearing all these stories about Jada. I said, I would like to give her a few quid, as a donation. And he turned around, he says, no, she's already, she got £20,000 there.
She's got £20,000, man. And the timing of this was just prior to the Panorama.
It was around about that time, yep. And I didn't question. I was happy once he says he's £20,000. I mean, well, that's in the result. I said, well, that's good. So I didn't need to pursue my conversation
anymore.
Giving her a donation.
Okay.
But that was my intentions, and that's what he told me.
Okay, cool. No, because it's just, I know Jim Dowson works with Hope Not Hate. I knew that 6-7 years ago. So we just...
He would work with anybody but him, wouldn't he?
Anyone that give him money. Yeah, so I'm just doing an investigation, and everywhere I'm looking, Hope Not Hate are there, involved with Panorama, involved with politicians, and there's money. In fact, £20,000 that you say is the same figure that I've got covert recordings was offered to another gentleman to lie.
That's what he told me. Like,
he told me.
I know grapes to fucking quite fucking by saying that. It was an innocent conversation I had reference me wanting to give her a donation.
Okay.
And it was to get through him, because obviously I had no contact with her. I hadn't spoke to her since she had the fallout. I never had a fallout with her. Really sorry. Me, it hurt me.
So did I, buddy. So did I, because I thought Jade done some great... Until I knew she was with Dowson, and then I knew that's Hope Not Hate. I knew it.
So, again, another part of the puzzle slips into place, and you can see there are numerous people making these allegations, and as I said, I've presented other evidence that backs this up. But this is very interesting, because we're talking about serious figures here. I've often said that Hope Not Hate give low-level informants their beer money, but here you have £20,000 allegedly for a Panorama appearance. Very, very dirty. But Jada's dirty tricks don't end there, because recently she has been going about touting the story that she has a court judgment against Paul Golding proving that he owes her £70,000 to £80,000 and acknowledging that he did physically abuse her. She's saying, I've got a court judgment. You know, this proves it. I've been to court. It's been proved in court. He owes me money. He stole money from me and he beat me up. Listen, the court judged this. The court has made a judgment. Yes, it has. But she is not telling you the full story. And I'm going to tell you the full story tonight. Jada Franson does not have a judgment against Paul Golding. She has a default judgment against Paul Golding, a default judgment. Now, you might not know what a default judgment is, but I do. I do know what a default judgment is, and I'm going to let you know what one is too. So we're all on the same page, because it's very important that we are. And I'm just scrolling through to actually find this this important snippet of information. Default judgment is a binding judgment in favor of either party based on some failure to take action by the other party. Most often it is a judgment in favor of a plaintiff when the defendant has not responded to a summons or has failed to appear before a court of law. The failure to take action is the default. The default judgment is the relief requested in the party's original petition. So what does this mean? Well, it means that Jada Franson took Paul Golding and several other plaintiffs to court, but none of them actually were in the court. None of them turned up at court and gave a defense. Well, why is that? And how can somebody have a judgment leveled against them in absentia? Well, what's actually happened here is Paul Golding, and I know this is true because I've seen the legal papers, has already got a petition with the court for a case which is taking place in October of this year to have that default judgment set aside, because he wasn't in court when the decision was made. In fact, he wasn't even notified that the court was making that decision. He wasn't even notified that there was a trial involving him, because the trial took place in Northern Ireland. It took place without him there, and he was never even summoned to the court. He was never even served with a summons, because Paul Golding has received paperwork from the court where all of the addresses for the plaintiffs were incorrect on the summons. So not a single one of them received the paperwork. So what it looks like has happened here, what it looks like, what somebody might allegedly think has gone on, is somebody who wants to ruin the name of a man has filed legal proceedings against that man and his organization for a large sum of money, but not served any of the summonses correctly, ensuring that they get a default judgment without the man in question or any of the other plaintiffs being able to give a proper defense. As soon as Paul heard that there had been this judgment made, and this judgment's been made and reported on by the media, it's already been in the media over in Northern Ireland, he straight away went to the court, petitioned them for all the paperwork to do with this case, and there is going to be a case in October, a hearing, to set this aside. And it is highly likely that Paul will be successful and this judgment will basically be quashed. And it'll be quashed for several reasons. Firstly, the summonses were incorrect, incomplete. But secondly, several of the people who are the plaintiffs of this case weren't even part of Britain First when the alleged incidents took place. So this seems very spurious. And one could surmise, or one could allegedly surmise, that this has been done in very bad faith, that Jada Franson has basically sought to get a default judgment, knowing that she wouldn't have got a judgment if Paul had been in court, to further ruin his name, to damage him politically, because it's been reported on in the press, and so that she can say, I've got a judgment proving he did this. Well, we will see in October what comes of it. But it seems to me, from what I've been told and the court documents that I have seen that are in my inbox on my phone, that there has been some very shady shenanigans going on there. Now, this could just be business, because some people have said this to me. They said Jim Dowson and Jada Franson, they're in business. They've got a business. It's the British Freedom Party. And they're just trying to knock the competition out. They're just trying to knock the competition out. They're just trying to get rid of their nearest competitor. They want to bring over all the people from Britain First into the British Freedom Party. And they want to grow their organization. So they're employing dirty tricks to get rid of Paul. But is it more than that? Because I've said before, Hope Not Hate works with the security services and uses the security services as their proxy. But does Hope Not Hate have its own proxies? Does Hope Not Hate have its proxies in the nationalist movement who weaponize disgruntled nationalists into attacking other decent nationalists? And do these proxies pay disgruntled or troublesome nationalists to attack other good nationalists. Well, I'm going to present you with some more information, because last year, this is where PA becomes involved. We had a guy on board who used to do a show on DLive. His name was Chris Mitchell. I'm not hiding his name. And we had a parting of ways with Chris Mitchell. Chris Mitchell had numerous problems. He was doing things on stream which were not in alignment with our values. He was doing things to support us and activists in the organization which weren't in line with our values. And we asked him to take some time away from the organization to either get his head together or decide to leave. He said, "That's it. I'm never coming back." But within days of us saying to Mitchell, "That's it, you need to take a break and walk away from us for a while," he was scooped up by Downson and Franson and other associates of theirs. Mitchell didn't just phone them. He didn't just appear on a stream with them. But he has boasted to people who have come to me before I made this show tonight, who would happily go on record and state this, that he has boasted that Dowson and Franson paid him to go to Belfast. They flew him out there. It was all expenses paid. They paid for everything we were worth when he was out there. And he's also been boasting to people that they offered him money. They offered him basically cash, wages, bits of cash here and there. What for? To disrupt PA? They're not offering it for his hot takes on the latest political happenings, are they? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not going to get into a big personal attack. I want to stick to the facts. But they're not paying him for his presentational skills. They're not paying him for his startling wit. They're not paying him for his high IQ. So what are they paying him for? And he's been boasting of this. This is something that he was very honest with people around him at the time. But it goes further than this, because since Mitchell flew out to Belfast, since he was offered money by Dowson and Franson, since he was having his expenses paid for them, he has surrounded himself by other people who are working for Hope Not Hate. And not only has he surrounded himself with other people who are working for Hope Not Hate, but he's actually shielded them. He's actually vouched for them. He's let them in his chat groups. He's hosted shows with them. He has done everything he can to raise their profile and protect them from any criticism. So he is working with other Hope Not Hate agents. And this forms one of those spider webs, you know, you see on the walls of detectives' offices in films, where you can see where all the connections go. Now, one of the people he's been working with is a guy called Fraser Hudson. He goes by the name of Mad Fraz. And Chris Mitchell has been working with Fraser Hudson. And Fraser Hudson is someone that Chris Mitchell himself claims is working not only with a left-wing doxing page that doxes nationalists, but also the police and also Hope Not Hate. Now, I know what you guys are all going to be saying, Mark, these are some heavy duty allegations here. You need some proof. Now, I've shown you some proof tonight. I've shown you Johnny Adair. I've shown you Paul Golding's. You've seen Paul Golding and Tommy Robinson saying these things. I've shown you articles online from the Hope Not Hate website. But now I'm going to drop some proof that is absolutely cast iron. Because you can say, you can never get it more straight than when it comes from the horse's mouth. So now I'm going to play you a clip of Chris Mitchell defending Fraser Hudson, Mad Fraz, on a stream. And then shortly after that stream, there is a private recording that was leaked to us in a chat room, that took place in a chat room on Telegram, where Mitchell admits he lied on the stream that he was covering for Mad Fraz, and that Fraser Hudson, a.k.a. Mad Fraz, is working with all these groups. So get ready for this as I just load up the video file. Here goes.
So I am going to talk about it, and I'm going to talk about the... I'm not going to put the voice note up because I think that would be an absolute breach.
About the Madfire T-shirt, by the way.
Yes, that's it. Yeah,
oh, by the way, let me just go back to the Madfire because I didn't bring it up earlier, like because we were talking about
the other one. Really.
We got sidetracked or whatever. He has not doxed anyone. Can we confirm that on stream? Has he doxed anyone, in your opinion?
Not to my knowledge. He released those three documents, didn't he, from PA, which I think is kind of bad, and you know I don't agree with that. To be honest, me and Madfries have had this talk personally, so I don't really want to sort of air it out in public. But no, I don't think he's you know, I don't think he's a bad lad. I think he's just been treated quite badly, and I think he's reacted maybe in a way that he shouldn't have done. But it's, you know, it is what it is. We're all men of our own agency, and we all have responsibility of our own actions, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's similar to what we said about Dion. Like, he's a good lad. He's been there in the former corner, so like I got a lot of respect for him.
We gave him praise on the stream. We defended him on the stream.
Mercian said, we've all said it to him multiple times. Going to the police is just something you don't do.
Well, yeah, this is his problem. I mean, like, he's had the doctors. I mean, like, so he's had the doctors speaking to him, and the doctors guy said to him, Hope Not Hate want to speak to you. And he's gone and spoke to Hope Not Hate as well.
What?
He'll interact with the doctors guy as well. It seemed a pleasant conversation from screenshots we've seen, just, you know.
So that's very serious, and there's a few things that we can take from that. You saw on a live stream earlier in the evening, Chris Mitchell and Anglo Joe, both of them look very shifty. Both of them look very uncomfortable. They both talk about him being a good guy. They both say fundamentally he's done nothing wrong. Then later they are in a voice chat where they admit they knew he'd gone to the police. They know he's talking to a left-wing doxing site that has been putting up the home addresses and the business addresses of nationalists, and that he's also been going to Hope Not Hate. And you heard one of them, one of the people in the chat, goes, what? Because he's like, why have you defended him? They're defending him. You can see by the shifty looks on their faces. I'm sure that little clip there, I'll circulate that later for anyone who wants to watch it again. I'm not going to force you to see those clowns again. But that is absolute cast iron proof that they knew that he was working with them. Now, I want to make a couple of other things clear. Vinnie Sullivan's on that stream. Vinnie Sullivan has nothing to do with this. I've spoken to Vinnie Sullivan. He's distanced himself from Mitchell, Anglo Joe, and the other people who've still got stuff to do with Madfries, Fraser Hudson. And to this day, Fraser Hudson is in all of Chris Mitchell's groups and is still presenting podcasts and shows with him. And he knows, as I've proved there, beyond a shadow of doubt, Chris Mitchell knows that Fraser Hudson is in touch with the police, doxes, and Hope Not Hate. That is unforgivable. And all of these links, all of this spider web of intrigue was spun after Mitchell went and met with Dowson and Franson at their expense. Now, also, they have stepped up their attacks on Patriotic Alternative, and they've been doing this with another so-called nationalist, Nick Griffin. And you might say, again, it's just business. They just now want to take over the ethno-nationalist scene. It's just a matter of Dowson expanding his interests. Well, I'm going to say this. Is Jada Franson a born-again ethno-nationalist? I don't believe so. It's been alleged that she has herself been in relationships with non-white fellas, that she has basically always been a civic nationalist, but now she's talking the hardline ethno-nationalist. She's now the hardline anti-Zionist ethno-nationalist when she never had been before. Very, very strange. And always attacking PA. And one could surmise that Dowson allies with Hope Not Hate, and Franson has allied with Hope Not Hate, because it's in their interests. They're trying to get rid of the competition. They're trying to get rid of other nationalist groups. And basically, this benefits both Dowson and Hope Not Hate, because Hope Not Hate gets to get rid of, you know, Britain First, PA, other organisations like that. And Dowson then has less competition when he's selling his tat and sending his begging letters. So is it just that? Is it just business, or is it something more nefarious? But there is one more thing. And I want you all to think about this, because I've presented a lot of evidence. But as they say, as lots of people say, I have saved the best till last. Now, earlier this year, Griffin, Dowson and Franson did a stream where they called PA, Patriotic Alternative, a honeypot. They called us a honeypot, and they said that we were doing things that other people would get arrested for. And the things they said were things like fitness groups, hiking groups. We were playing computer games. I mean, that was one of their big takeaways, that we shouldn't be playing computer games. And they said, you know, people should leave us, that we were a danger to young people. Now, I'm not going to rebut all of those things. But let's talk about honeypots. Let's talk about things that take place which are absolutely unthinkable. Jim Dowson and Jada Franson work for or with or around a group that Dowson owns called the Knights Templars. Now, the Knights Templars have a website on which they sell weapons. They sell swords, axes, maces, other bladed weapons. And at the same time, their leading spokesman, Nick Griffin, states that there is no political solution. He says there is no political solution, that politics is a waste of time. There's no political solution. In fact, he and the Knights Templar state the only solution is a reconquista. A reconquista. Now, if you don't know what that means, Spain used to be occupied by Muslims. And during its Muslim occupation, it was called Al-Andalus. And Al-Andalus was eventually reconquered by white Christian Spaniards. And it was reconquered by force. And following the reconquering of Spain, there was the Spanish Inquisition, which was a time whereby anyone who was thought to be a traitor that still was in league with the Muslim rulers who had been forced out of Spain were often tortured and often had to prove their loyalty to the Catholic Church and to Spain. So the Reconquista was a violent military affair. So you've got an organization selling weapons, selling bladed weapons, numerous bladed weapons, saying there's no political solution and that the only solution is to reconquer white Christian lands by the use of force. How the hell do they get away with that? How do they get away with that? Well, I'm telling you now, it is my belief that it's because they work with Hope Not Hate, and as such, Hope Not Hate and the security services give them a pass. Now, that's just an allegation, just my belief. But I'm going to add fuel to this. Let's speculate a little bit. Because remember, this is just speculation. PA, Britain First, Tommy Robinson, the English Democrats, the Heritage Party, you name it. Everyone else has lost a bank account. I've lost five. I remember when I was in the BNP, the BNP had all its HSBC accounts closed. Even the English Democrats have had all their bank accounts closed. I've lost my PayPal. I've lost my Coinbase. People like Tommy Robinson, who is an avid Zionist, has lost his PayPal and his Coinbase. People all over the world who are nationalists can't take credit card payments, can't take PayPal, struggle to even process cryptocurrency. Yet the Knights Templars are selling weapons on their website, and you can just pop in your credit card details and order yourself a sword or an axe. Is it just me, or does that absolutely stink? And again, this is absolute speculation. But you'd have to be it's speculation turning into advice. You'd have to be a complete idiot to buy a weapon from them with your credit card. Because I'll tell you now, if I was a betting man, which I'm absolutely not, but if I was, I would say those credit card details, once they'd been processed and your poorly made Chinese sword had been dispatched, they'd be given straight to the security services. If there's any honeypot out there, it's the honeypot of the Knights Templars. And I'll tell you this as well, for free. This is my last part on this. If the PA website was selling weapons, not that we could because we can't take credit card payments, not that we ever would because we're committed to a peaceful community-based political solution, but if we were selling weapons, I'll tell you what, I'd be watching the sun come up as I sat on my drive with my legs crossed, my hands cuffed behind my back, and about three officers surrounding me with Heckler and Cox pointed at my head, because that's how it would go down. No other nationalist group would ever get away with selling weapons. And you know this because every time some silly young kid has an edgy flag from a certain 1930s political movement from the continent and they get arrested, all the pictures in the paper are they've got a flag, they've got a hunting knife, they've got this. Nationalists are violent. But these guys, they're selling bladed weapons and saying, there's no point getting involved in anything political. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, it is believable when you join up the dots. Now, moving on. The next thing we saw in the documentary, Tommy Robinson and Paul Golding, they went to the police to report much of this. Now, I understand why people want to see this reported to the police, but I kind of thought, is that going to go anywhere? I mean, the police are no doubt complicit in many of the things Hope Not Hate does. I don't think the police or anyone in the media would take this seriously because they are, you know, in on this. And then the final sort of piece de resistance of this documentary was doing something to Nick Lowles that he's had done to many other people before. Nick Lowles has always worked with TV companies who have doorstepped nationalists. And this is very, very telling because Nick Lowles actually admits to some of the things that he's accused of. So I want to play this snippet for you because I've got to say it is interesting, but then I am going to comment on it a little bit. I'm going to comment on it a little bit as well. Because fundamentally, I've watched this documentary a couple of times, and I think you can hear that Kaylin Robertson and Lauren Southern were lying. I think you can hear from the footage I played you the truth about people like Chris Mitchell. But I think this section
of an organization called Hope Not
the documentary also says something about Tommy Robinson. And it's that Tommy Robinson is obviously a cracking point with all this. He's obviously got to the point where they've been getting to him. He's obviously under pressure. The court cases, everything's getting under pressure. And he goes and confronts Nick Lowles, and he does lose his temper a bit. And I wish, this isn't a criticism, I'm not here to bash him, but I wish he just stayed slightly cooler. And something else that annoyed me with this is it's edited down. He says he spoke to Lowles for about half an hour, but there's only about 3 or 4 minutes of this. It's very telling, but I wish I'd seen the rest. I wish that Tommy, and if you're watching this, you know, I know you don't like me, but publish the whole thing, please. But here goes.
And with the media sitting guaranteed waiting to run the headlines of their lies, I need to speak to Nick. I need to see how many more sources have been created for their lies. I also need to put these allegations to him from the evidence that you've heard. Last and final stop, let's go speak to Nick Lowles.
Nick, how many people have you paid? How many sources have you created to give false information? Have you paid to lie? You give drugs to Tom Foley. Why do you give drugs to Tom Foley? How many different people have you paid to lie? Why don't you stop and talk, Nick? You've created sources of information. You create your source of information and then you use the media to run them and pump your lies. Why would you, Kaylin Robertson, why was you blackmailing him? What was you doing travelling out to Italy to see him? What was you doing, Nick? You got no answer? Don't you have an answer?
Should we talk about your crimes and your activities?
Let's talk, come on, why not? Where are you walking to?
I'm going to work.
Going to work? You're going to create more sources? What about Danny Tomo's ex-missus? Why did you tell her he slept with an underage victim? Why did you lie to her? Why have you told her that? Why were you paying her sister money? Do you understand that when you pay someone, they're no longer a reliable source of information because they're being paid by you? Are you going to deny paying people? Are you going to deny creating sources, Nick? Are you going to deny creating sources? Get around the front. Yeah, how many people in your book have been paid to lie about me? How many sources have you created in your book with your money? Huh? Answer the question. You do realise that paying someone, they're not a reliable source once you've paid them, really? Blackmailed them. What about Andrew Edge? You're going to deny you've met Andrew Edge?
No, I'm not going to deny I met Andrew Edge.
So you haven't met Andrew Edge? Are you going to deny you was meeting?
It's pretty obvious we've met Andrew Edge.
Are you going to deny you was meeting with... Have you paid Danny Tomo's missus' sister? Have you given money to Danny Tomo's missus' sister? Bear in mind, I have evidence you have.
So?
I have evidence you have.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah. What about your source of information? You're doing it again. You created Caelan Robertson. You created Andrew Edge. You created Tom Foley. You created Danny Tomo's missus' sister. Well, no, it's not boring, because you're destroying lives by creating... You're creating false
says
information.
Says the drug dealer.
Says the drug dealer? Yeah. Are you calling me a drug dealer?
Yeah.
Who have I dealt with? Will you deny that you've been paying Danny Tomo's ex's sister to say things about him? Are you going to deny that?
I'm not talking about anyone I might have spoken
to. Because you're not going to deny it.
So are you...
Will you deny Danny? You paid... You contacted Jasmine Bishop. You told her that he slept with an underage victim. That's what you told her. You lied to her to get her on your side. You got her angry. You got her angry so she would say things.
I didn't need to lie to her at all.
Did you say to her that Danny Tomo slept with an underage victim?
Find out in my book. You'll find out what my allegations are in my book.
Your allegations are only that because you pay people. No. As we found out, you've been paying people. When you pay someone, you can't run a source in your book making allegations when you're paying them to say it. That doesn't work like that. It's not a reliable source of information.
Find out what my book says.
No, because your book is full of creative sources that you've created with money, blackmail, drugs. One more question. Father to father, do you think it's fair that you put a picture of my children's home online when you know people want to kill them and rape them?
No one's identified that home.
No, you put a picture of my children's home online. You have. Yeah?
And you doorstepped my partner.
No, I didn't doorstep my partner.
Your people did.
No, not my people.
Really?
A woman who was scared in her home doorstepped your partner because you put a picture of her home online and then turned up there looking for me, which you're aware of because she contacted you multiple times. You didn't take her house down. Why did you take it down once your wife told you to take it down? Why did you then delete the picture of her house? Because you know it was wrong, Nick. You play dirty tricks and you try and put targets on people's houses.
Dirty tricks.
Sharon Clough.
Dirty tricks.
Explain what happened with Sharon Clough. Dirty. You say you create sources.
Really?
I've got evidence of seven sources you've created. You pay them.
When that story
comes out. You blackmail them.
When that story comes out.
You pay them. You blackmail them. I know you've got the media waiting to run your stories.
Yeah,
I know you have. I know you have. Because that's what your job is. Your job is to create the source, create a lie, and then the media wait there and pump it.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Fine.
And I'm exposing you for it in a documentary. No one's going to trust you. No one's going to trust your sources. You can't talk like you're a hero for women. You scared a woman in her house so much she had to come crying to your missus. You scared her in her home with her little 12-year-old daughter. They're still scared now because of your actions. Okay? You intimidated Ashley and her little boy. He's not allowed to play outside. You put a picture of my kids up in my kids' home. I know how it feels because my kids are scared because of your actions. So don't talk to me about women because you scared women. Sharon Clough got beaten up. She's an old age pensioner. She got attacked because of you.
Shit. Fine. Okay,
you're chatting
fine,
shit.
Fine.
You're creating
fine,
a source. Fine. You're paying someone.
Fine.
You're paying, and I've got evidence of it.
Fine.
Every step.
Sure. Well, and I've got lots of evidence as well.
No, you haven't. You've got sources that you've paid.
Why have you turned up today?
Nick, I've been working on this for months.
I know you have.
Yeah, I've been working on it for months.
Yeah.
Months.
Yeah.
I'm exposing how you create your sources.
Right.
No journalist should ever trust you again.
Really?
But then they don't. They know what you're doing. You're all working hand in hand. As you just said, you've got the media waiting to run your stories.
No, you told me that.
You write the stories for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're part of the deep state, Nick.
Yeah.
You paid Tom Foley.
Uh-huh. What,
yeah? Are you going to deny paying him? You paid Andrew Edge. You create your sources of information.
Better than dealing drugs, though, isn't it?
Now, I've cut 30 minutes down, but I want you to be able to listen.
So that's that, really. Obviously, at the end, Nick Lowles there. He says that he did do those things, and his only retort is it's better than dealing drugs. And they seem to be having a go at Tommy and trying to make out he's some drug dealer. I would like to see the full 30 minutes because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff thrown around there. And there's a couple of other things that I want to point out before I wrap up and answer any questions. But the first thing I want to point out, and I said this at the beginning, hope not hate are not to be trifled with. People should not speak to them. People should not try to outwit them. Just ignore them. Ignore them. do not go to them. Do not speak to people who speak to them. Do not speak to people who speak to Hope Not Hate informants or cover for them. Stay away from them. And I'm going to show you why. Because this whole show was built around the idea that there was a mole. It was built around the idea that there was a mole. And the final part of this, which explains why I've said that Hope Not Hate are quite smooth operators, comes here. And I'm going to pause it when it gets to the correct bit. Just let me sure I'm near it. Here goes.
Contacts are mole. You might not be talking to TR.
Here it is. And I'm going to put this up on the screen. It's just a screenshot. And this is something else that I alluded to. It says this. This is from Nick Lowles to the Tommy Robinson mole. And it says, okay, you might not be talking to TR, but you are talking to Hel Gower. Strange that something only I told you was brought up by Lennon today. As for the wider issue, we put up the picture of the house in January, a house that was bought with his money. As well you know, he doorsteps me today, 6 months later. The two are not related. You can kid yourself all you want, but this is the same bully boy tactics he's always used to intimidate people who try to expose him. I've corrected that. He said, are try to expose him. And let's not forget that he's in this mess because he lost a libel case and refused to pay. Now, at the beginning of this, I said, Lowles is a professional. Don't underestimate him. Now, obviously there, ultimately, Tommy or Tommy's mole underestimated him. Because what actually was the undoing of this? Why the documentary got caught out before it was finished? Was because Nick Lowles was indeed feeding something I said to his informants. It appears that Lowles feeds false bits of information or little juicy tidbits of information that really mean nothing but seem juicy at the time back to his informants. And he does that because if that piece of information then turns up somewhere else, he can say which particular informant he gave it to and figure out that they're some kind of double agent. Don't underestimate him. That was one of my predictions, that Lowles would feed disinformation back down the chain. Now, he wasn't feeding disinformation, but he was feeding little snippets. And those little snippets were used to catch out this mole. That is very unfortunate, because obviously, if somebody had been around for longer, who knows what could have been caught. Probably not that much, as I said earlier, but still disappointing nonetheless. Again, don't underestimate your enemy. And the final thing, which I did find very interesting, and this is just a sort of humorous aside, is this complete idiot who calls himself Steve Speaker's Corner. And Steve Speaker's Corner has been having a go at people like myself for some time. He was one of the people who was always calling for people like myself to be banned from Twitter, to be investigated by the police, to be silenced. Absolute untrustworthy person. Somebody that you would say doesn't really value any of any sort of nationalist ideology or ideals. And I said for a while that this Steve Speaker's Corner was highly suspect. I said to people, look, that guy's always causing some kind of drama. And at the end of the documentary, you see Tommy Robinson ringing up Steve Speaker's Corner, because one thing they did get from all this in the year of this so-called mole being undercover talking to Nick Lowles is they did manage to actually expose that Steve Speaker's Corner was also talking to Hope Not Hate, which he more or less admits when Tommy confronts him over it on the phone. So again, this just shows how many people have talk to Hope Not Hate and how many people think it's okay, and it's absolutely not. So before we do some of these questions, I'm sorry this has run on a bit longer because we had those little issues earlier, but I want to give you my conclusions. My conclusions are the following. Hope Not Hate, they're professional, they're dedicated, don't underestimate them. They are sneaky people who are dedicated to their craft. They work with politicians, the media, and the security services. They have greater resources than we do. They have greater surveillance powers. Don't go to them thinking you're going to outwit them. You're not going to. Fundamentally, we have very little power. They are very well connected. They have lots of power. They often beat nationalists. They often expose nationalists. But they do this not because of all that power I just mentioned. They do this because they have a network of rats. They have a network of snitches. They have a network of traitors who move within our ranks. Now, we haven't got the power to beat Hope Not Hate. We've not got the political connections. We've not got the media connections. We don't have police connections. The police are basically there to screw us over. We know that. But we can expunge the rats from our movement. We do have power over who comes to our events, over who we work with, over who we stream with, over who we support. Stop letting these rats into the movement. That's what we can do. We can learn from this. We can understand how Hope Not Hate works, and we can cut these rats off. If you know somebody is working with Hope Not Hate informants, don't watch their streams. If you know somebody is giving tidbits of information or working with people who are doing things that are highly suspect, don't give them your patronage. Don't speak to them. Don't feed them information. Don't go in their chat rooms. If you cut these rats off and if you stop feeding them, they will wither. It's as simple as that. And I believe that nationalism is important. I believe this is about the future of our people. We're not engaged in some game. This isn't some sort of playground nonsense. This is the future of our race. And if you believe that the future of our race is important, if you believe that the future of our people is important and that we deserve a future, treat this with the importance and the dedication that it deserves. And always remember, a traitor is worse than an enemy. And that's the presentation for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to answer the questions, and I'm going to start, as always, with the entropy questions. Here goes. Red Line gave $3. Thank you so much, my friend. And he said, I remember Nick Griffin going on one of our shows a few years back, dripping his poison, and I feel the appearance did a lot of damage to the movement. Well, why would he be damaging the movement? He's done enough damage to the movement over his time in charge of it. Archie gave $14. Thank you so much. And he said, Mitchell, Jada, Griffin, Tommy, and Milo seem to have personalities that make them peas in a pod. They are cannibals. They have become professional guns for hire to some degree. They will work for the FBI like Milo. Did Milo work for the FBI? How to avoid such personalities is Southern one. Well, I'd say this. When you listen to people like Lauren Southern, when you listen to people like Caelan Robertson, and there was voice recordings of them, when you listen to other people I've presented voice recordings of, and they're happy to work either with Hope Not Hate, meet Hope Not Hate, or work with people who are working with Hope Not Hate, the police or Doxy's pages, cut those people out of your life. Simple. Make the cut. Anyone who's serious about this movement has to treat it with a proper and almost militaristic attitude. If you know you have a spy in your ranks, you get rid of that spy because it threatens everything that you are doing. Red Line gave $5. Thank you so much. Now, do you think that Tommy Robinson just used Lauren Southern and our film crew to attack Hope Not Hate, or are there more nefarious reasons? I actually did speak to Tommy Robinson briefly after that, and after my expose on Lauren Southern, and he actually said, you know, it was very interesting, the things I said. It was very interesting the way I laid it all out, and it gave him food for thought. But I think that he gave Caelan somewhat of a pass when Caelan said that he would testify that he was sexually assaulted by Joe Morhull. I've already gone on record that I don't believe that for a minute. There was no criminal case brought, and why would Joe Morhull be in Caelan Robinson's bedroom to sexually assault him unless they were very, very close? Very few people come to my house, even fewer people have got into my bed, and you certainly don't allow people that you barely know into your bedroom. None of it makes sense. But I think Tommy Robinson used that testimony because he thought it was very important. 14 Ways gave £5 and said, we'll catch the stream on replay. 14, thank you very much. And Pi gave £3. Thank you very much. And said, thanks for the stream. Always interesting your takes. Well, thank you very much. And Red Line gave another $3 and said, a good takedown. Thank you, Mark. Well, thank you very much. The unpaid questions. Kelt said, Mark, could a PA infographics group have helped you with some visuals, e.g. timeline, information flows, personal relationships? How much time could you have provided for turnaround? Look, I'd love to have all infographics. I actually thought about doing this as a pre-recorded stream, as actually not stream, as a video, actually as a documentary. But the problem is, a documentary has two, well, major problems. First is to stitch together a documentary takes weeks and weeks of work. And secondly, to put all the infographics in and make them good requires several other people. What's more, you can't answer questions and you can't have feedback from the audience, which I thought was important. I wish we had the money to employ somebody full-time to make documentaries, because as many I'd like to make, and this would have been one. But thank you for the feedback. Rouse Yourself from Slumber said, anyone who works with Hope Not Hate directly or indirectly is a rat who should be completely shunned from the movement. Obviously, that is what I have been saying, so I agree with you fundamentally on that, my friend. He also said, fascinating, isn't it, how around the time Hope Not Hate started hitting funding issues, many of our anonymous troll accounts disappeared. That is also true. Do I think Nick Griffin actively works with Hope Not Hate? That's a very good question. And this might shock people with the answer. No, I don't think Nick Griffin actively works with Hope Not Hate. There is a term used by people who sail close to the wind when it comes to the law, and it's called sweet grassing. Grasses go to the police, or in this case they go to Hope Not Hate. Sweet grasses are people who say, oh, I would never grass, but and then they go in the pub, sit next to somebody they know is a grass, talk very loudly to screw somebody over. I don't think Griffin would actually meet with Nick Lowles or Hope Not Hate, but I think he would work with people who do, and he would feel that would give him enough moral distance to say he hadn't worked with said people. So yeah, that's the thing. I don't believe he would do that. I don't like Nick Griffin, don't rate him, think he's doing pretty terrible stuff. I think he's done a lot of damage to nationalism, but I don't still believe that he would openly call Hope Not Hate, but I do think he would do what is known as sweet grassing. Rouse Yourself from Slumber said, remember, Mark addressed the allegations from Dowson, Franson and Griffin's stream in a Telegram Q&A last year. Indeed, I did. It was an extensive one. It took over 2 hours. Rouse Yourself from Slumber said, it was amazing how openly Andrew Edge bragged about being paid by Hope Not Hate in the documentary. Yeah, there was lots of other people who were openly working with them too. Watch the documentary for yourself. So that's that. And then there's another question which isn't directly to do with this, so I'm cancelling that. And we do have some chats over on Odyssey. Are they going to load? That is the question. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Are we going to get any luck? Are we going to get any luck? My Odyssey seems to have... it seems to not be telling me. So let me try and read them anyway. Stan Wong gave $300 Aussie token, said, great analysis. Cope not cake and nothing more than an arm of our regime's governmental operations. Thank you very much. Um, 24 hours gave 10 Odyssey tokens. It's a great stream, 14. Problematic, what's his name? Problematic Bob gave 20 Odyssey tokens, said, to what extent do you think Lauren Southern's latest video is an attempt to get out ahead of this documentary? Quite a bit, actually. The timing was significant. I think she was, I think she wants out of the movement. She wants to clear her name, but I've heard there's going to be some other streams coming out from other content creators that she's mentioned. I'm not going to mention who, because I don't want to upset them in any way. Problematic Bob also said, oh, he's asked the same question twice. Well, thank you so much. He's given me 20 Odyssey tokens. Beer Hall Pooch said, thanks for this, Mark. On the back of your Duke show, solid worker. Yeah, I've done quite a lot today. Thank you. Reed Johnson said, thank you for this special presentation and taking the time to analyse an important player of the anti-white opposition. So that's the end of the questions and that's the end of the stream. And now, because we have those few technical issues, I'm going to end this and I'm going to edit it down to cut out the bits that... was just black screen. So I'm sorry about that. That's never happened before. Must have just been a coincidence. I hope you've enjoyed this stream. I hope everyone who wanted to ask a question has managed to ask a question. We've got a couple more. We've got one, only one more. We've got Arch, who gave $3 and he said, Southern is a traitor because she wouldn't sleep with me. The perception that Paul Watson and other men that call her a whore traitor because they won't sleep with her reminds me of AOC's rape stories. Yeah, she's a bit unhinged. She is a bit unhinged. But that does bring us to the end of the show. We've answered all the questions. I hope you've enjoyed the presentation. I hope it's been illuminating. And I hope you share it with other committed ethno-nationalists who want to get a greater understanding of how Hope Not Hate are basically working to undermine this movement and how several so-called ethno-nationalists are essentially working hand in hand with them, admitting they are doing so, and working with people who have openly admitted to being working with Hope Not Hate. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you again next week. I'll be back on Wednesday for Patriotic Weekly Review. Special guest is Ed Dutton. Thank you. Stay strong, keep fighting, have a great weekend. I'll see you all soon. Thank you and good night.